Two seasons now in the books, and the verdict is still out on Sacramento Kings general manager Monty McNair and his capability of being successful here in Sacramento and in the NBA as a whole. Many believe that he has wasted his first two seasons and off seasons. Others believe he's the most capable general manager that the Kings have had since Jeff Petrie. But it's clear that this was a wasted season for the Kings. But did McNair's trade deadline, pulling off a Tyrese Haliburton for Domantas Sabonis trade, in addition to trading Marvin Bagley, landing Dante DiVincenzo and other players, was that enough to salvage the season and maybe even a little bit save Monty's job? We'll talk about it on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of your Sacramento Kings from January through to December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. Just wrapped up my eighth season covering the Sacramento Kings professionally. This is my fifth year hosting the Locked On Kings podcast, and I currently work for ABC 10 News in Sacramento. And if you missed the first two parts of this six-part Sacramento Kings 2021-2022 season review series that I have going on, make sure you check those out. The first part was focusing on the season that De'Aaron Fox had. Second part, last part, focusing on the season that rookie season Davion Mitchell had. And every single one of these parts features commentary, thoughts, and analysis from Sacramento Kings legendary radio broadcaster Gary Gerald. Instead of making you wait to hear his thoughts, we're actually going to start with G-Man's thoughts on both Monty McNair, and we're also going to include Alvin Gentry a little bit in this discussion as well, Kings associate head coach, who was informed last week or a couple weeks ago now that he would not be returning as the head coach for the Kings. No surprise there, but even so, even though we know Gentry's time as the head coach in Sacramento is done, it's still worth talking about the season that he had and what he had to inherit and the challenges that he had to face. So G-Man is going to share his thoughts on that, and I'll share my thoughts on both McNair's performance and Gentry's performance after you hear from the legendary Kings radio play-by-play broadcaster and overall basketball genius, Gary Gerald. Monty McNair, the one thing that Monty has said and been consistent with since he came in was that he was going to be patient, aggressive at the right spots. And look, I know he understands that asking a Kings fan base who is now going on 16 straight seasons without the playoffs, heck, asking you and I who've covered this team, you've covered this team well longer than I have, asking us to be patient, that's a big ask in a lot of ways. But in your mind, the patience that he showed throughout the course of this season and even last season to end up pulling off a trade like he did, you mentioned earlier already bringing in six new guys, but to bring in a player of a multi-time all-star, a player of Domantas Sabonis's caliber, who theoretically fits excellent with what De'Aaron Fox and the Kings are trying to do going forward. Can you speak to, in your mind, the significance of that patience and how that, I guess, raises him to the next level as a general manager in the NBA?
Well, you look at the body of work, and it's not a large body of work in Sacramento, but you look at what they've done in the draft the last couple of years. You look at that trade that he pulled off that you indicated, and to me, that's sterling work. And it's hard when you're, in the bottom of the totem pole, trying to create things to help you inch your way up the ladder. And I have great faith in Monty McNair. And I believe that just he's already proved to the Kings that, he's not content to just kind of ride it out and see what happens. But behind the scenes, I think they're trying to generate all kinds of different ways to make this organization better, to get more respect around the league, to have more wins than losses. There's so much work to be done, and it starts, and we've heard this repeatedly from Alvin Gentry, you've got to have success on your home floor. And that's one of the most puzzling aspects of this last season to me. You mentioned longevity with the Kings, Matt. 37 years, I've been blessed, you know, to call Kings games. Of the 37 seasons, there have been others that have been worse in terms of one loss, but I can't remember a single year in the 37 that's been as difficult to define as this particular season. Mm-hmm. The inconsistency, the lack of response at different times when you get smacked in the face and you just like fall off the side of the mountain. Mm-hmm. It's just been inexplicable, and it starts at home. You've got a great fan base. There's no question about that. These people deserve so much more than they've been getting in terms of wins and losses, but they're always there. And I was thinking, watching a game last night, Minnesota play-in opportunity, they get the victory over the LA Clippers. The response in that arena was just off the charts. And you're thinking, multiply that by 10 if it was Golden 1 Center mm-hmm. in the Kings. I got very disappointed and disgusted, and I'm going to sidetrack a little bit here last night, with the TNT crew and the fact that they were mocking and belittling the accomplishment of the Timberwolves. I found that very, very disappointing. They should have respect. Yes, they're elite. They deal with the top teams all the time and the top athletes. They've been top athletes. They've had success. But you should never demean a team for wanting to succeed and then celebrating when they do succeed, even if it's just a play-in game. I'll get off my soapbox about that because that has nothing to do with the Kings right now.
No, I appreciate it. You're preaching to the choir with that. And I've imagined that moment many times as I know you have, being able to call that moment, G. And what I appreciate about Monty the most is that at no point has Monty made excuses. He's been very open and very honest about, I mean, he said in his press conference yesterday, he said like it was a disappointing season. I agree with you. This to me was the most difficult season that I've ever had, not just covering the Kings, but watching them as a fan. And I go back to when they won 17 games not too long ago, when Jason Thompson and Beno Udrich and Francisco Garcia were the big three on that squad. Yeah. No disrespect to them. That was a fun team. I enjoyed that team more than I enjoyed aspects of this team this year. But one of the things Monty brought up in this in his press conference, he immediately mentioned again wanting to get this team to the playoffs, and he reestablished the goal for me, which is something that I personally needed to hear, which is playoffs are the goal next year. And both he and Luke Walton said very similar things heading into this season. Obviously, the team failed in a major way and didn't live up to that. But I appreciate, G-Man, that we know what the goal is. We know what he's trying to accomplish. And now that that bar is set, we can hold him, and he'll hold himself and his staff and his players and his soon-to-be coaching staff to that bar as well. That's refreshing to me.
Well, I agree. I mean, you have to be accountable. And, you know, it gets hot sometimes when you're at the top and you're making the decisions and you're faced with different situations and scenarios. And very often, it's been my experience, there are so many things that go on behind the scenes that we're not privileged to know about that influence decisions. And it's easy to second guess, and it's easy to be a fan and say, well, why aren't they doing this? Or why isn't the coach doing that? There may be some well-defined reasons why the coach isn't doing that, or the organization isn't doing that. I leave that to the people in power. That's their job. And I don't want to say blindly follow along, but I have belief in them. And because of that belief, I have optimism. And it's hard to be optimistic after you've experienced a season that's had so many pitfalls like this last one for the Sacramento Kings. But I choose to be optimistic, and I choose to believe that Monty McNair is on the right track. And I choose to believe that Monty McNair is going to find solutions. He's going to generate a coaching search that's going to result in a coach that fans will be able to back, that players will be able to relate to, and the product on the floor will be good enough to get the teams out of the desert after these 16 years and into a playoff scenario. But it's not a just one and done type of thing. You got to have the foundation for success over a period of time. You want longevity. You don't want to say, okay, we broke the streak, we're in the playoffs 1 year. Mm. You want to be good enough that you're building and you're going to be better year after year. You look at the blueprint, Utah, Memphis, a couple that jump out to me in the last few seasons, in the NBA in the Western Conference. That's where the Sacramento Kings want to be. Mm. And you want to look ahead and say, a year from now, man, we're in the playoffs. That's great. But we're going to be in the playoffs for a lot of years to come because we've got the talent, we've got the system, we've got the organization that can make it happen.
Last thing that I have for you about McNair, going back to trading Tyrese Haliburton, which was a surprise for very many people, especially with the fact that Tyrese was the first move, I guess with the exception of extending De'Aaron Fox, but in my honestly, I don't remember the timeline. Drafting Tyrese Haliburton was the first major move that Monty McNair did himself as a general manager. And of course, this is his first time ever being the guy, the general manager in his career. So to trade away someone who not only was your first ever draft pick, but someone who has overachieved when you compare the 12th pick. I'm not saying Tyrese is playing better than we expected him to be necessarily. There are a lot of people who believe this was who Tyrese was, and I think Tyrese is going to get even better. But as a 12th overall pick, Tyrese showed that he should have been in the top three, top four conversation. For McNair to trade that away to bring in a player like Sabonis, one, I think that shines a whole hell of a lot of light on how much respect around the league there is for Tyrese Haliburton and how much the Pacers believe in Tyrese Haliburton, for one. But what does that say to you about what McNair is willing to do in order to be a successful general manager and turn the tides here in Sacramento?
Well, I think he hit it out of the park. I mean, I was as shocked as anyone that Tyrese ended up being part of the deal. But it's been said so many times, and I still think it's so very true. You got to give up talent to get talent. Mm. And if you get a 25-year-old two-time All-Star who can be a cornerstone in the low post or as a high post passer or whatever, you got to do it. And he did it. And I like the fact that he apparently wasn't afraid to pull the trigger on that kind of a deal. So again, you know, here I am trying to be optimistic. And yeah, I'm going to miss Tyrese. I enjoyed getting a chance to chat with him briefly when we were in Indiana late in the season and see how he's going along. And I'll follow his career, and I'll look at the box score every night that the Pacers play and see how he and Buddy Hield, what kind of numbers they're putting up. But by the same token, Domantas Sabonis is going to help this team immensely. And it's not just Sabonis, it's others who came in the deal that Monty was able to structure and create.
Alvin Gentry was informed, as not surprising to most of us, that he would not be continuing as the Kings head coach next season. And that was immediately followed up in that press release by a tremendous amount of praise and respect from the Kings. He's received that respect from Sabonis and Fox publicly. We've heard that respect from so many NBA minds and analysts from around the league. So it's a very difficult spot that Alvin Gentry was put in this year. And even though the win-loss record won't suggest that it was a successful stretch for him, even Harrison Barnes talked about the accountability that he brought to the roster in his own way and how he gave opportunities to guys like Davion Mitchell at the end of the season. I'm not trying to oversell anything because it still was a disappointment and the Kings still lost a lot of basketball games and Alvin Gentry wasn't necessarily the world changer that we all wish he could have been. But in your mind, what did Gentry bring to this team that will be missed in a lot of ways as the head honcho there on that bench?
Well, I loved his accessibility, first of all. I loved his candidness. I love the fact that, you know, he was holding people accountable. And I look back in the middle of the season, remembering a horrific night. The Kings just didn't show up in Memphis. And Alvin, I mean, he more than took him to task. And he went right down the line about he was embarrassed and they didn't follow the game plan and it was humiliating and one thing or another. Head coaches rarely make those kinds of statements. And I really appreciate that. I like Alvin so much. He's such a class act and he's such a wonderful individual. And I think that he brought a lot to the Kings. And sure, yeah, like you said, the record, the wins and the losses didn't indicate grand success or anything like that. But I look back fondly, and I wish that we had the opportunity to travel. You know, we went almost two full years without traveling. And because we weren't traveling relating to COVID, there was no face-to-face interaction with an Alvin Gentry and other members of the coaching staff and some of the players. And as a broadcaster, that's really frustrating because what you want to develop some kind of a rapport and trust with them. Mm-hmm. And I miss that a lot. But in the short period of time that I was able to either talk with Zoom or then traveling in the latter part of the season and seeing Alvin, you know, on the buses, at the shoot arounds, in the hotel, on the elevator, whatever, he's a delightful guy to be around. And he's a basketball lifer, and I'm sure he's still got stuff that he can contribute, be it with the Kings in some other role in the front office organization or with another club. I'm a fan of Alvin Gentry.
We'll get to my thoughts on both Monty McNair and Alvin Gentry, their 2021-2022 season in just a second after I tell you about Shady Rays, a great sponsor here of Locked On Kings, an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed durable frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every pair. They will send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. Give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays, exclusively for Locked On Kings listeners. If you head to ShadyRays.com, use promo code Locked On, you'll get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code Locked On for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses, backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews. I don't think Monty McNair was ever at risk of losing his job this season, but I think had he not pulled off the trade deadline that he had, he would be sitting in a lot hotter of a seat or in more hot water amongst fans and maybe media members than he is right now. And we can debate, and the verdict is still out, on whether or not the trades that Monty McNair made this trade deadline are going to work out for the Kings. It's still a major risk trading away a young potential star like Tyrese Halliburton for 2 years of Domantas Sabonis. And I've said it again on Locked On Kings, or many times on Locked On Kings, and I'll say it again. If Domantas Sabonis does not re-sign with the Kings, if in 2 years he leaves as an unrestricted free agent, Monty McNair is more than likely out of a job. I'm pretty confident in saying that. So Monty's taking a risk, but he's also sticking to his word, being aggressive when he needs to, trying to find the moves that will ultimately improve this roster. And the credit I have to give Monty McNair is this. Trading for Domantas Sabonis is the best trade that the Kings have pulled off since trading for Chris Webber. And it's not even close. Not even close. To get a multi-time all-star and only have to give up. I say only because Tyrese was loved here. And again, I think Tyrese can be an all-star in this league if everything works out for him. I think he's great for the Indiana Pacers, an excellent fit there. I'm excited to see how his career goes. But still, to get a two-time all-star for a second-year player, that's a pretty great accomplishment for Monty McNair. But to me, it might make things a little bit easier to swallow. It might give us more of a excitement heading into this offseason that I damn well know wouldn't have been here. We would have been feeling horrendous if the Kings went into this offseason still with Buddy Hield or Marvin Bagley on their roster and no prospect of any bright future. Hell, I think De'Aaron Fox would have been demanding a trade out of Sacramento at that point, truth be told. Even though he was able to pull these trades off and make things a little bit easier for us, it still to me doesn't forgive the time that McNair has wasted. And you look at his first really half an offseason. Remember, he was hired midway through the offseason right before the draft. That was the time he took Tyrese Halliburton. That was an absolute home run for him. Did absolutely nothing in free agency. The roster that the Kings brought into last season was an absolute travesty. Then he pulls off some decent, kind of small, but somewhat good, noticeable moves at last year's trade deadline, bringing in Terrence Davis, bringing in DeLon Wright. But then the following offseason, he doesn't trade Buddy Hield, doesn't trade Marvin Bagley, commits to Luke Walton, only to fire him 20 games into the season. That was a big boo-boo. We'll talk about that. And then trades DeLon Wright, who the Kings acquired after drafting Davion Mitchell, trades DeLon Wright for Tristan Thompson, even though the Kings had an abundance of bigs. We all know how that worked out. McNair has had his fair share of questionable moves. And to me, the Luke Walton blunder is significant. Because regardless of the position the Kings are in right now, regardless of having Domantas Sabonis at this point and how good we're feeling about this offseason and the future, the Kings wasted a perfectly good and wide open season to at minimum make the plan. Look how bad the West was this year. I don't know if we will ever see the West as bad as it was this year again. Truthfully, that was not characteristic of what the Western Conference normally is. The Kings still couldn't make the play-in with a talented roster all season long, not just after the trade deadline. They still couldn't make the play-in with the West as bad as it was this year. It was a complete wasted season by the Sacramento Kings. I don't put that all on Monty McNair, of course, but what I do put on Monty McNair is, had he fired Luke Walton last offseason and brought in his own head coach, the Kings wouldn't have had to deal with the turmoil of an associate head coach coming in and all that chaos of firing a coach in season after just 20 games, after McNair publicly committed to Luke Walton during the offseason. Said that he is the guy that the Kings have faith and confidence in to lead the Kings to the playoffs. Wah, wah. Now, I was very vocal this season about not believing that Luke Walton deserved to be fired. I didn't think he was necessarily the perfect coach for the Kings going forward, but I don't think it was Walton's fault. It clearly wasn't Walton's fault because the Kings didn't get any better after Walton was gone. However, I think it is okay to question. We don't have any proof otherwise, any reason to believe otherwise. I do think it is okay to question or at least speculate that maybe keeping Luke Walton last offseason wasn't 100% Monty's decision. Because if you look at track records of general managers, when they come into the league, typically they like to hire their own general manager when they get their own team. They typically like to hire their own head coach when they get their own team. With the contract situation of Luke Walton, with the financial implications, the significant negative impact that the Kings took financially because of COVID-19 over the last couple of seasons, maybe McNair's decision was at worst made for him, at best influenced by ownership. Regardless, it's on Monty, because as soon as Monty committed to Luke Walton, Walton became his guy. Whether behind the scenes it was his fault or not, publicly it became his guy, and then he fired his guy 20 games into the season when the Kings got off to another disastrous start. Wasted time by McNair. Now he can definitely make up for it with this offseason and this coaching search that he's going to get to pull off over these next few months, and I'm excited to see how that process goes and who is brought in for interviews and who ultimately McNair decides to go with. But this is a 2021-2022 season review. And overall, I think Monty McNair had a bad season. A bad season that was made a little bit better and was kind of brushed under the rug a little bit because of what he was able to pull off the trade deadline. I give McNair close to an A with this trade deadline. Being able not just to bring in Domantas Sabonis and move on from Buddy Hield in that deal, but to trade away Marvin Bagley and to get Dante DiVincenzo, plus they got some value in Trey Lyles and Justin Jackson, whatever. Like, it's not Justin Jackson, excuse me, Josh Jackson. To me, those trades were great and they were needed, and they were an example of McNair putting his money where his mouth is when he said coming into his time here in Sacramento that he was going to stay patient but was going to remain aggressive and was going to look to pull off the moves that when a star became available, he wanted the Kings to be legitimate players. And at the beginning of the season, I don't think any of us expected Domantas Sabonis really to be available. Certainly not acquirable for the Sacramento Kings when the best player that they were giving up was Tyrese Halliburton. McNair managed to pull that off. He deserves credit for that. He salvaged the season in many ways because of that. Also salvaged his image as a general manager, a capable general manager. He also salvaged my personal confidence in him as a general manager. You heard how confident G-Man is. I am confident in Monty McNair as a general manager. I do believe that he is capable of doing the job and doing it right. I feel the best about a Kings general manager that I have since Jeff Petrie was here all those years ago. That being said, the Kings could have been in a significantly better place right now and this season had McNair acted a little bit earlier. I understand patience is important, and McNair talked about patience in his trade deadline press conference. And patience is sometimes difficult for you and I and Kings fans to deal with, right? We've been patient for far too long here. We want to see the Kings make a move, especially when the team was as atrocious as they were this season, despite having as much talent as they did. But sometimes I think you can be too patient, too passive. You can wait too long. And then you get situations like, again, what we saw this year, which is the Kings wasting a golden opportunity to at least make the play-in in the Western Conference. Because now I almost guarantee you next season the West is going to get better. And the Kings are expected to make a big jump. Even with Fox and Sabonis here, it's not going to be easy. McNair's got a lot of work to do this offseason. I do want to talk about Alvin Gentry too, because my expectations for Alvin Gentry were extremely low. And that actually has nothing to do with Alvin. It has to do with the situation. I think whoever the Kings brought in at that point in time after firing Luke Walton, I think they were destined to fail. Because this Kings team was an absolute disaster cluster you-know-what this year. Just complete disaster until the trade deadline. I think Alvin Gentry did a lot of good things. He also had a lot of questionable rotational decisions, and he'd play some guys some nights and they wouldn't see the floor other nights. Little things. I could be nitpicky about little things, but ultimately Alvin Gentry was put in a very difficult spot. Extremely difficult. A spot that we thought was not necessarily likely, but very possible. Remember when Alvin Gentry was brought in and the Kings made him their lead assistant and gave him a same contract or a similar contract length to Luke Walton. We were all thinking, oh, if Luke Walton's fired, this guy's here right now. Turns out we weren't too far off. But I'm not going to say Gentry was powerless, but he was powerless to save the train from going off the rails like it was all season long for the Kings. He has tremendous respect around the league, clearly has tremendous respect in that locker room. If you didn't hear De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis' comments on Gentry, Harrison Barnes' comments on Gentry after the season ended, you should go and take a listen to those or read them. Really good comments. Gentry allegedly could still be part of the Kings organization for his last year of his contract, even if he's not a coach. No idea what that would be. But I have a lot of respect and give Gentry a ton of credit. I am very glad that Gentry is not going to be returning next year. I think that would have been a disaster for the Kings. It has less to do with Gentry again and more to do with the situation. The Kings need a fresh start. The Kings need an established guy to come in here and change things. I don't think Gentry was going to be capable of being that guy, no matter how respected he was here. But I appreciate the hell out of him. Wish him the absolute best. I don't know if he'll ever get a head coaching gig again. He certainly shouldn't be judged as a head coach based off of what he had to deal with this season for the Kings, at least in my opinion. Today's episode of Locked On Kings also brought to you by Built Bars. Built Bars are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They handle that sweet tooth for you, but get rid of the regret that you have of eating too many candy bars. On top of that, they're healthy. They're super delicious, a tremendous amount of flavors like mint brownie, coconut almond, their new white chocolate cookies and cream. If you're a fruit lover, they have raspberry, orange. There's so many different flavors for you to try. And most Built Bars are 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein compared to candy bars that are 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs on average. In addition to the bars, they have this protein-infused marshmallow. They're the first ever to do this. A protein-infused marshmallow. Yeah, that's a real thing. They were able to do it. A marshmallow candy treat that is good for you, that helps your body. And you can get so many different flavors like cinnamony, churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. They're oh so good. Go and check those out. Whatever you get on Built.com, whatever, if it's a Built bar, a puff, make sure you use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off whatever your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. So we've talked about De'Aaron Fox. We've talked about Davion Mitchell. We've talked about Monty McNair and a little bit about Alvin Gentry. And we got three more review podcasts for you to go. This is just day three of 6 straight days of Locked On Kings podcasts. Tomorrow, the Thursday edition of Locked On Kings features Harrison Barnes. I'm excited about this one. I'm excited to talk about HB because there are many ways for me to be critical of the season HB had. There are many ways for me to give praise for what HB continues to deal with. And the big question with HB has more to do with this offseason and next year, which we will talk about. I know it's this season's review or this past season's review, but I'm curious. We're going to look at what HB did and didn't do this season that influences both his value and the Kings' willingness to commit to him next year? We're going to talk about that all on tomorrow's Locked On Kings podcast, of course, featuring commentary from the G-Man, Gary Gerald. And then the final two, we're going to focus on the players that the Kings acquired at the trade deadline. I'm talking about Domantas Sabonis, Dante DiVincenzo, Trey Lyles, amongst the others. And then we'll talk about three other players on the final episode coming Saturday. We'll talk about three players who have been with the Kings all season long, who somewhat carved out roles for themselves, but might not be returning. Talking about Chimezie Metu, Damian Jones, and Terrence Davis. So those are all still to come this week. And then I'm lining up great interviews and more great content for next week. So I hope you will join me for all of that. If you could leave a review of Locked On Kings, if you haven't already, that would be phenomenal. You can do so on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Hit 5 stars. There's a little box for a custom review. If you could take the time to fill that out, even leave a couple of sentences, explain to people why you listen to Locked On Kings, what you like about Locked On Kings, why you'd encourage others to listen to Locked On Kings. That really helps us out a ton. And then Spotify listeners, you can leave a review on Spotify. There's no custom review, but you can leave a 5-star review as long as you think the show is worthy of that rating. Really would appreciate that as well. And thank you to all of you who have reviewed already. Also, I want to hear your thoughts on Monty McNair's season. I want to hear your thoughts on his trade deadline. I want to hear your thoughts on Alvin Gentry. Send them to me at MattGeorgeSack on Twitter. Email me MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com or leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. Again, if you missed my reviews of both De'Aaron Fox and Davion Mitchell's seasons, go back and check those out. And tomorrow, I will be reviewing the season of Harrison Barnes. So I hope you will join me for that. Until then, my name is Matt George. You've been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.